A substitute teacher is starting her first day at a new school. She's taking attendance when the boy walks in a few minutes later and he says, "My name is Matt, I'm sorry I'm late. Every morning I go down to the lake and I throw pebbles in the water until school starts." The teacher excuses him. A few moments later, a second student walks in and the teacher asks, "Why are you? Where you been? Why are you so late?" The student replies, "Well, my name is Ben and I go down to the lake, toss the pebbles into the water and I'm sorry, I just didn't notice the time." The teacher shakes her head. A few moments later, a third kid walks in. "And who are you and why are you late?" the teacher said. The kid, out of breath and breathing hard, said, "Well, I'm John. I was down by the lake, also throwing pebbles into the water, and I like to see how big a splash I can make." The teacher, flabbergasted, also excused him, but says, "Look, I know tossing pebbles into the lake can be fun, and the bigger splashes pebbles make is really cool to watch, but please watch the clock next time, you know, and don't be late for lessons." Anyway, then a fourth kid walks in. He's drenched with water, his clothes are wet and muddy, his hair is soaked, and he's dripping all over the floor. And the class burst into laughter. Without hesitation, the teacher says, "Okay, I know you've been down the lake, I know what you've been doing, and I don't have a problem with it. Just dry off, take a seat, and give me your name." He said, "My name's John Stone, but they always call me Pebbles." You know, in a way, I am a substitute this morning. Originally, I think Jan was going to do it, but sadly, her husband died. So, not quite a last-minute substitution. But so I'm afraid you've got the short straw this morning. And to a certain extent, I feel that I've been thrown in the deep end. Because I've been in ministry 28 years. It's my very first retreat that I've been asked to take. So bear with me, and I hope you don't think I'm a drip at the end of it. The theme was given to me, and I carried on with the same theme that Jan was going to do. Obviously, I've written it the way I wanted to write it, but the theme for the day, as we can see, is there is a time for everything. And I just want to read to you from the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and some time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has placed on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set out eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever it is has already been. And what has and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun in the place of judgment. Wickedness was there. It was the place of justice. Wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so they may see that they may be like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the human spirit rises upwards and if the spirit of the animals goes down to the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? You see, from the first session, I've entitled there, Perfect Timing. Just want to watch this little video. We'll start.
Imagine there is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. And every evening, it deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during that day. What would you do? Draw out every cent. Each one of us has such a bank. It's called time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. And every night it writes off as lost whatever you have failed to invest wisely. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account for you. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against the tomorrow. You must live in the present. Today's deposit, invested in every opportunity. The clock is running. You've got to make the most of today, right here, right now. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask a person who just missed a train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who narrowly avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who took the silver medal in the Olympics. Time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
Famous saying that says time and tide waits for nobody. In this our first session, you may have guessed that I want to look at time and what it means to us. And I want to emphasize and to confirm what Rodney said, that today is your retreat day. How you use your time here is up to you. Although there are scheduled periods for personal reflection and prayer, do feel free to use the day as you please to your advantage. Of course, I'd like to think that you'd want to come to all my sessions, but we're all here with different needs. Some may be here to enjoy the worship, to praise God for what he's done in their lives. Some may be here to chill out, and they need some peace and tranquility. Some may be hungry to feed off God's word, as well as the wonderful food that we're going to feed off, hopefully lunchtime, when we share with the nuns. Some may be here to spend time reflecting on their future, or perhaps seeking a healing touch from God. And it's my prayer that all of us here, including me, will be blessed in some way or another. I've been on several retreat dates from the church, and I've always gone home better than when I went, and that really is my prayer for you today. Nothing that I've said or done, but what the Lord, I hope, will do in our lives while we meet together. So I won't be offended if you miss all or part of my sessions. You know, in 28 years of ministry, I can only remember once somebody walking out while I was preaching, and I thought she'd gone to the loo or perhaps to put the kettle on for the cup of tea after the service. But apparently, I touched a raw nerve. So if that happens today, or you disagree with anything that I say, or perhaps you need clarification, please don't leave this place without speaking to me, in case I need to put something right. Okay? A man was strolling past a mental hospital and he suddenly remembers an important meeting. Unfortunately, his watch had stopped. It's probably a cheap Rolex he bought in Romford Market. And he couldn't tell if he was late or not. So then he noticed a patient that was similarly strolling around within the hospital fence. So he called out to the patient. The man says, "Oh, pardon me, sir, but do you have the time?" The patient calls back, "One moment." And he throws himself upon the ground and he opens up a bag he had with him and he pulls out a short stick. He pushes it into the ground and then he pulls out the bag a carpenter's level, assuring himself that the stick is vertical. With a compass, the patient locates north, and with a steel ruler measures the precise length of the shadow cast by the stick. Withdrawing a slide ruler from his pocket, the patient calculates rapidly and then swiftly packs up all his tools and turns back to the pedestrian saying, "It's now precisely 3:29 p.m, providing today is August the 16th, which I believe it is. The man can't help but being impressed by this demonstration, especially as the guy's a patient in a mental hospital. Anyway, he sets his watch accordingly. Before he leaves, he says to the patient, "That was quite remarkable. I'm really impressed. But tell me, what do you do if it's a cloudy day or at night when there's no shadow to go on the stick?" The patient holds up his wrist and says, "Don't be stupid, I look at my watch." You know, as we journey through life, so often we can make things more difficult than they need be. We can often make mountains out of molehills. And too often, we don't seek or we ignore God's guidance. Or at the very best, we may leave it till we're desperate. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes that I wrote was written by King Solomon, who was accredited as being the wisest man in the world after he asked God to make him so. Now, for all his wisdom, he still made mistakes. In fact, many of them. And he wrote Ecclesiastes as he was coming to the end of his life's journey. And he was hoping to spare future generations the bitterness of learning through their own experiences that life is meaningless apart from God. You know, Solomon had it all. He had intellect, he had power, he had wealth. Although, he didn't always spend those things wisely. As my Life Application Bible points out, that the whole book of Ecclesiastes is filled with practical and spiritual wisdom. All these remarks relating to the futility of life are there for purpose. To lead people to seek true happiness in God alone. He was not trying to destroy all hope, but to direct our hopes to the only one who can truly fulfill them. Solomon affirms the value of knowledge, relationship, work and pleasure, but only in their proper place. Now, being on a retreat day or a quiet day is an ideal opportunity to look back on our life. Not to beat ourselves up, you know, focusing on the negative things, but to evaluate where we are and where we're going with our lives. And hopefully spending time talking and listening to God and being willing to let him guide us through our future journey in life. Fred is showing off his new apartment to a couple of his friends one night. A drunk led the way to his bedroom where there's a big brass gong. "Oh, what's that big brass gong for?" one of the guests asked. "Well, it's not a gong, it's a talking clock," the drunk said. "A talking clock? Seriously?" asked one of his astonished friends. "Yup," says the drunk. "Well, how does it work?" the second friend asked, squinting at it. "Watch," the man said, and he picked up a big hammer and he gave it a shattering pound and bang and stepped back. The three looked at each other for a moment. And suddenly someone from the other side of the wall screamed out, "You friggin' idiot, it's 3:10 in the morning!" They get worse. Okay, it's a funny story, but just as alcohol distorts the reality, you know, I even used to think my mother-in-law was pretty, but I'd had a few drinks. I shouldn't say that, really, should I? You'll find I'm not very politically correct, but forgive me, all right? I'm from the old school. Now, sometimes we allow circumstances to distort or change the perspective on many things, don't we? And often we look at things in a negative way. You know, just a few examples, really. No. I'm sure you may have asked those questions. I did. I used to be an atheist police officer till God performed a miracle on my wife, brought her back from the dead, and I actually became a Christian, but that's another story. These sort of questions I used to say. If God exists, why all the suffering? You know, can God really heal? Why do they die so young when they're so good? You know, what's the point of applying for something? They don't recognise my potential. Why did they get the job? It should have been mine. I can't ever see things changing. Why bother to pray? God hasn't answered my prayers yet. These are all sort of negative things that can come into our mind through circumstances. You know, things that can distort what we believe about God.
No, I don't want that!
Sorry. I'll leave that one on there. I thought there was a blank there. Okay. You know, we have no control over those events that I listed in that Bible reading. I know it's quite long, and thanks for not falling asleep. I could see a few eyes shut already, but it was a long passage. Now, the time for planting and harvesting depends upon the change in the seasons. We can't alter it, can we? Our time to weep is normally associated with someone else's time to die. You mourn when you're bereaved. If it were up to most of us, there would never be a time for war. Immediately after showing there is a time for every purpose under heaven, Solomon informs us that God has made everything beautiful in his image. But how could death, war, and weeping ever be beautiful? I think one of the problems is that we are often desperately nearsighted. We look at the events of the moment and we forget their relation to the greater scheme of things. You know, we can never stand back far enough to view things as Father God the Creator does. Our God declares the end from the beginning, says that in Isaiah. God sees the beauty of the changing scenes of life. In our time of reflection, let us think back with thankful hearts of the beautiful times in our lives, which sometimes we tend to forget, don't we? The important thing in life, really, is timing. Now, and God's timing can so often be different to our own timing.
I may have told you before, we are cat people at our house. Now, I have nothing against dogs, but with our travel schedule, cats are so much easier to leave at home a night or two by themselves. In fact, I'm pretty sure they prefer that. We think we have a pretty special cat, though. Her name is Blossom, and she'll often run to meet us at the door and loves to curl up in your lap on a cool night, but she has a major problem. She can't tell time. So much so, she will jump on the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning or run around the house in the wee hours of the night, so every night, we put Blossom down in the laundry room. Now, don't worry, it's heated and cool, and she has plenty of food and water. But occasionally, she will hide, knowing that darkness has come, and it's only a matter of time for her being sent down to the laundry room. We normally find her, but not last night. She hid too well. So last night, at about 2 a.m., well, let's just say she was easy to find. The poor cat just can't tell time. I guess it's hard to keep it all straight when you sleep for 20 hours a day. But do you know that God can't tell time very well either? Or let me say it this way. It doesn't look like he can tell time, at least not according to my schedule. I want or even need him to do something today, and it doesn't happen. Other times, he moves before I'm ready. Sometimes I wish I could just give him my watch and ask him to respect my time. But God's timing is different. Peter tells us that to him, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But that he's not slow in keeping his promises, because he has a plan. So what are we supposed to do? Well, the scripture says that we ought to live lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. So tonight, I'm going to be sure that I find the cat. And you can be sure that you can count on God's timing and live like he's coming back today.
As our reading points out, God has a plan for people. Thus, he provides cycles of life, each with its work to do. And although there are many problems we face in life that seem to contradict God's plan, they should not be seen as barriers to believing in him, but rather opportunities to discover that without God, life's problems have no lasting solution. Timing is important. All the experiences listening and reading were appropriate at certain times. I just want to tell you of just two of my life's experiences of God's timing. Not to boast or to put myself on a pedestal, but as an illustration and hopefully an encouragement to those that perhaps are going through troubled times. Many years ago, my wife and I were part of the leadership of a church plant held in a local school where we lived. Unfortunately, during the summer holidays, we were not allowed to use the school. I think the caretaker obviously wanted his break as well. So we had to go back to worship at the main church that had commissioned us to plant the church. And the vicar, who hadn't been there long at the main church, felt that God was saying to him that they needed to pray for people with a fear of cancer. And let's face it, most people that would apply to. And he was at the end of service, he wanted some of the leadership team to pray with people over this fear. And he actually blessed some buckets of water and said, you know, just sprinkle it on the people at the end. And he invited Maggie and I at the end of service to help him out at the front to pray with people. Now, a woman unknown to us came up and she asked us to pray for her because the doctors had just told her that she had weeks to live. Not the easiest prayer request that I've ever been asked to do. And sometimes you think, well, where do I start? You know, how can I give the peace of God to this woman? How can I pray? And I prayed in a positive way that you know, the doctors may have been wrong, or God could lay his healing hand on her. Sad story, but you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel later. Now, apparently, she was the mother of a woman in our fellowship, and she'd only been going to church a few weeks, but Meg and I didn't know her, because normally we'd be at the other venue, at the church plant at the school, you see. And we prayed for healing for this woman, physical, and that God would wrap his arms of love around her, and she would feel at peace. Now, shortly after we prayed for this woman, Meg and I left that church over an issue, and I won't go into it, but it was a painful experience for Meg and I. We were well loved and respected in the church, but something went wrong. It happens, unfortunately. Us Christians are no different to anyone else. However, I believe God's plan and timing was right, and we were led to, and I hope we were used to a useful purpose to God somewhere else. Now, 18 months after praying for this woman who'd just been given 2 weeks to live, her daughter phoned me and asked if I remember praying for her mother. Of course I did. It was quite a leap of faith for me to pray for a woman that had just been told she'd got 2 weeks to live. Anyway, she told me that although through our prayers her mother was still alive, 18 months on, she was now deteriorating and had asked if Meg and I would go and visit her. I assumed that she wanted us to pray for more healing. It was a week before Christmas, but we managed to find time to visit, and the woman was so pleased to see us, and she appeared quite cheerful. We chatted for quite a few moments, and I offered to pray for her. And she told me that in that 18 months' grace that God had given her, she put many things right in her own family, but more importantly, she put herself right with God. She'd actually found a relationship with God. And I asked her how she'd like me to pray. And she told me that she knew God as her Lord and Saviour, and she was now ready to go to heaven. Her only prayer request to me was that she wouldn't die over the Christmas period, because it'd be such an upheaval for the grandchildren and the daughters and sons. That was her only prayer request. She died on the 29th of December. You see, there's a time to live and a time to die. There's a time to love and a time to hate. My second experience is when I felt hatred to someone. I'm not perfect. I don't suppose many of you are, actually. I don't insult you, but the Bible says if you say you're without a sin, then you're a liar. But there you go. For those that don't know, I became a Christian late in life as a result of, say, Maggie being brought back from the dead. She was on a life support machine. If you want to know more, you can. I've got a couple of DVDs you may want on there, or you can go to my website and see a video. In fact, you might see John's wonderful looking face on my website as well. If you want to know more about that story, it's quite an incredible story. Not I boast that, because it's all what God did. Anyway, because of my dramatic conversion, I felt compelled to leave the police force and to go into full-time ministry. My vicar at the time agreed to put me forward for ordination, and I can assure you that the wheels were put into motion, but it's a long and drawn-out procedure in the Anglican Church. I managed to jump over many of the hurdles. You know, we were interviewed at home, and references were looked into, and we were really getting near to the final selection board. However, by this time, a new vicar had come, and sadly, we never got on. Now, it happens, even to some Christians. We should try to love each other, but we are only ordinary people, really, with something special. Therefore, if you get no support from your vicar, you ain't going to go for ordination. So I was to stay into the police force until God wanted me out, and I believe made that possible a number of years later. You see, in hindsight, how pleased I was that that vicar that I felt hatred for at the time prevented me from being ordained as a vicar. I now enjoy having an itinerant ministry, you know, which has taken me to such places as 18 states in America. I've been to Singapore, Albania, and Northern Ireland, John was with me in Albania and Northern Ireland, and hundreds of churches all over the UK. But I guess now, today, I've reached the pinnacle of my ministry. Here I am at your retreat day. See, not only is there a time for everything, but there is a reason for everything. You know, refuse to be obsessed with time. It is right to be concerned about time, but it's not right to be obsessed with it. You know, do you live your life by the clock? Are you a candidate for stress? I love this. What's that? Can you see that? Morning, doctor. My wife thinks I'm suffering from stress. Gosh, is that the time? Let me have a fusion triplicate. Oh, can I use the phone? My septic will have to do the medical. Must rush. Let's have lunch sometime. Yeah. So often we don't like admitting stress, do we? You know, I know when I was a macho policeman, I thought I was. The last thing I wanted to tell my colleagues that I was getting stressed out. But we all can have that happen. When filmmakers want to create tension, they show a clock relentlessly ticking away. Such tactics are pointless when applied to ordinary issues in everyday life. You know, nervous glances at a watch will generate tension when you're caught in traffic, but they will not make the traffic move any faster. And fretting will do nothing to alter the situation either. I know. Just 2 weeks ago, driving to my church's parish weekend, my journey took 6 hours when it should have been 3 hours. Not only did they close the M1, but when they eventually opened one lane on the M1, they then decided to close the M6. How thankful I am that I drive an automatic car, which took a bit of sting out of the old left foot. It was a horrendous journey. So learn to relax. You know, and do not become intimidated by time. Some people live life as if they were on a racetrack, you know, and they set themselves rigid lap times, don't they, for doing things that they want to accomplish during the day. You know, there's a time for chilling out. Two motorists were given the task of driving for 1,700 miles. One was asked to drive as fast as he could without breaking any speed limits. The other was told to drive at a comfortable pace. At the end of their journeys, it was found that the fast driver had consumed 10 gallons more of petrol and doubled the wear on his tyres by driving at a speed which in the end proved to be only 2 miles per hour faster than the other driver. Learn to lighten up. Even laugh at yourself when you muck up. It's not easy. You know, a recent research project demonstrated that laughter is actually healthy for you. Researchers studied the psychological reactions of people in the study group, and they watched while they watched comedy videos. And while they were doing they took blood samples and they've been analysed. The researchers found that the cortisol levels fell, antibodies increased, natural killer cell activity climbed, and gamma interferon levels rose. These responses all strengthen the immune system. The preacher of Ecclesiastes is showing us we can't do it by ourselves. Ecclesiastes is pointing out to us in doing so that the book sets up the coming of Jesus. It's like a prophetic word, part of that book of Ecclesiastes. You know, we have to be reborn. We have to learn to rethink and live in a relationship with Jesus Christ and help and allow him to come into all these situations in life. Ecclesiastes, I say, is a transitional book, really, between the two covenants, the Old Testament covenant, we call, and the New Testament when Jesus came. A man once visited a garden centre looking for a certain type of tree. He was surprised to see a sign that said, "The best time to plant a tree was 15 years ago. The next line stated, the second best time is today. Let's just watch this video. As we come to the close of session one, I leave you with these questions that you might like to think about during your personal reflection and prayer time, as well as perhaps remembering back to some of the beautiful things that have happened, the positive things that have happened in your life, and you may want to give thanks to God. Now, think, how can I make better use of my time, both at work, at home, and if you're a Christian, perhaps in your Christian walk as well? I'm at a bit of a disadvantage because you all know I'm a Christian. I don't know where any of you where you stand with the Lord. I hope you all know him. But if you don't, perhaps it's about time. You might have should have done it 15 years ago, but you can do it today. It's the second best time to do it. Think about that. Think about the gospel message. No. Think about, do we trust God with all our decisions and actions? Maybe it's time to let go of hurts and disappointments from the past and give them over to Jesus. So maybe you should have done those things years ago, but believe you me, today is the second best time to do them. I don't know if anyone's got any questions. We're nearly at 11 o'clock, time for you to go back. You probably know this place better than me. I've only been here once before, but there's some lovely grounds on there to believe, aren't there? Go and crash out, you can sit down as it's a lovely day and spend time on your own, more importantly, with God. And if it's never happened to you before, open up to allowing God to speak to you. Because he wants to. You know, regardless to where you are in life, whether you're a good person, bad person, wherever you come from, you're a child of God. Isn't it lovely? You know, even at our age, even at John's age, you know, you can be a child again. You know, God loves us all. He wants to bless us all. So in this next hour, It's a time for you to have personal reflection, find yourself a nice quiet place. Hopefully you'll remember some of the things that I've said. You know, I can't guarantee it. I can't always remember my vicar priest the other week, but you know, I hope some of it is meaningful to you. And hopefully we will see you back for a bit more worship. And if you can take another session, I'll see you at the second session. God bless your time. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Roger. Do you